Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And this time we are going to be talking about a study in contrasts. So we have actually seen quite a few movies this summer, but we're going to be talking about two of the more recent ones that we went to that both have some, probably some things to say about masculinity, but they approach them in very different ways. So what are we going to be talking about?
Well, first we're going to be talking about a kind of indie film in sorts, which is The Art of Self-Defense.
Right.
And then also the typical summer blockbuster that you go to. You proceed to get your popcorn and your water, eat about half your popcorn, set your brain in that popcorn, finish the popcorn, and leave the theater and put your brain back in.
Right.
And that is Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes, very nice, which we saw yesterday. But we'll start with the art house film. This is one that you'd been anticipating for a while.
Right? I saw the trailer and I was like, you know what? I'm willing to give this a chance because the last couple things I had seen with Jesse, I was like, wow, I don't want to see anything with this guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because of Lex Luthor?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I know it's just one role, but I will give him crap for all eternity because of that role. And so I was pretty interested in it just because I could tell by the trailer that it was a dark comedy.
Yeah.
And it was something kind of different, which I was interested in. And so I told you about it. And then I was like, oh, let's go see it in theaters. And so when the day came, it just was not in very many theaters. And so I definitely could tell that it was, you know, more limited release, kind of indie film. So
So this one is directed by Riley Stearns, stars Jesse Eisenberg, like you said, Alessandra Nivola and Imogen Poots, Imogen Poots. There we go. Practically no budget, as far as I can tell. I couldn't find a listed budget anywhere.
Probably, I don't know, $100 for that camera that they had?
Something like that. And when you said limited release, it only got 550 theaters.
Yeah.
So I don't know how art house films work, like how the math works out. Because, you know, Jesse Eisenberg is a pretty bankable name, actually. And so I'm sure he has to take a huge pay cut to be in something like this.
I'm betting that the studio had him in mind, approached him, and then he was like, yeah, this is too good to turn down, even though it may not be the biggest selling thing.
Yeah, it's only grossed like $2.4 million. But, you know, over that many theaters, I guess that's fine. I don't really know. Speaking from some ignorance here, just because we don't really know how the art house works. But this is a good movie.
Yeah.
And it really, really interesting.
Yeah.
It definitely has some satirical elements to it. And there's some of it where I'm like, I'm not sure how literally we should take everything in this, because it is kind of, it invites you to analyze it and think about, well, what was that actually about? What was it trying to say? So how would you do it? Now, of course, we're going to go all spoilers for everything, but how would you summarize the plot?
Basically, this man play, or kind of boy, honestly, played by Jesse Eisenberg, lives in this house with his little dog, has this kind of simple life. He goes to work at accounting. He's an accountant, right?
Yes.
At his workplace, where he's very shy, very introverted, very feminine.
Very awkward.
Yes. And so he basically, one day when he's going to the store to get dog food, he gets beaten up very badly by this kind of mob, I guess you could say. They're all wearing bicycle helmets.
Motorcycle helmets.
Yeah. And so, you know who they are at first. And then, you know, he goes to the hospital and decides, you know what, I need to learn how to defend myself. So there's a kind of funny scene where he goes in and wants to get a gun. And he's like, you know, he asks, you know, I'm looking for something to fit my hand. And the guy's like, so sounds like you're looking for a handgun. And then it's very... The dialogue in that scene in particular was interesting because he held in his hand. He's like, yes, this is precisely what I asked for. It fits very well in my hand where I could put it then into my pocket.
Right.
And it was just, it was odd, but it was kind of what I expected. And so then throughout the film, he decides, you know what, no, I'm going to take up learning some martial arts instead as a way to kind of see if there's another way for me to defend myself. And then basically a ton of weird crap starts happening throughout the film. And I would say it's pretty straightforward for the first hour, and the last half hour is just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, this got really dark, really interesting.
Yeah.
but really kind of messed up mm-hmm. at the end. So you can kind of say what the last part of it is about.
Yeah, actually, I don't know how much we want to spoil. Yeah.
We said all spoilers, so...
We did.
If you can't tell already, you at some point want to see this film. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those things that is probably, at least with the movie reviewers that I watch, probably going to appear on some top 10 lists mm-hmm. out of nowhere where people don't know, like, oh, what was that movie? Yeah. And they'll say, yeah, not many people saw this, but it was really good.
Yeah. So highlights of the film, the three main performances mm-hmm. in there by the three people that I mentioned are excellent. Mm-hmm. Like Jesse Eisenberg does a great job showing his arc from being that almost feminine guy, mm-hmm. you know, very, very mincing and retiring and you know, mm-hmm. avoiding confrontation to then all of a sudden he starts taking starts listening to metal
yeah.
and confronting people.
Yeah. The first scene with him in the movie, you can, without any kind of dialogue, even though there is some, you can kind of just feel the awkwardness for him mm-hmm. at his work when he's in there getting his right. coffee.
Yeah.
A lot of people can relate to workplace, you know, just kind of interactions, mm-hmm. but just for him in particular, you can kind of feel like, you know, what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And so to put yourself in his shoes, you can be like, oh goodness, this is already pretty cringy.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. But it pays off
oh, yeah.
in spades when his personality changes. And mm-hmm. this is where, you know, I wanted to talk about the whole masculinity thing, because this definitely has something to say about, you know, what does it mean to be a man, and what does society tell a man that he should be? And right. Mm-hmm. That comes down to the, you know, no, you want to listen to metal, you know,
like, yeah.
Does everybody need to listen to metal to be a man?
You know? You have to have a certain type of dog.
Right. Yeah. You can't, that was kind of funny. You had a little miniature Doberman or something.
Yeah. Some and so they give him a, you know, 130 pound German Shepherd.
Right. The sensei is, mm-hmm. is, I mean, he's fantastic.
He, I think he's my favorite performance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And just the way, I mean, anybody who can deliver lines, like, we're going to be concentrating on punching with our feet.
Yes.
And kicking with our fists.
Yeah. But with a straight face. I also liked his, you know, this belt, this is wonderful. I will wear this at all times, you know, because he gets mm-hmm. all the belts for him. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes.
It's funny because we're talking about these scenes, but, you know, if you're listening, you're like, oh, that doesn't sound that funny. It's funny when you see it. It's hard to convey the kind of, I don't know, the magnitude of, mm-hmm. of the scene through this, but it is excellent.
Yeah. We really enjoyed it. So, yeah, like I said, I don't want to go into too many hardcore spoilers, but there are a few times, and it's not a laugh out loud kind of film, except there are a couple of those moments mm-hmm. and they're paid off so well. And like, it leads up to those moments so superbly that you just can't help but laugh and admire what yeah. they did.
Let's and there's the, like, there's a laugh out loud from a typical comedy that you get a couple times, mm-hmm. but then there's the laugh out like, oh, wow, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Or the, you know?
Yeah. There were a lot more moments where I was just like, that is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, intellectually, I could say that was really funny.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't make me actually laugh out loud, mm-hmm. I'm just like, that's
clever.
Yeah.
That's very really clever.
Yeah. And so it's interesting, the masculinity thing, because the best student in the dojo is played by Imogen Poots, right? Mm-hmm. And she's far and away the best fighter in there. But there's that hilarious line where the sensei is basically saying, yeah, she's never going to get black belt because mm-hmm. her being a woman
prevents her from ever being a man.
Like, that line is, in its simplicity, like, kind of talks about that whole toxic mm-hmm. masculinity thing, right? Like, why does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody needs to be a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very odd, but interesting.
One other thing is the art design of the movie, because I would challenge you to come up with what year this thing is set, because it looks like it's, you know, set in 1993 mm-hmm. with the technology level, because there's like VCRs mm-hmm. and CRT monitors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think there's cell phones as well.
I want to know where it's set state-wise.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
No idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere.
It's like the Idaho thing from Napoleon Dynamite.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Yes.
Content warning, there are some still images of nudity
mm-hmm.
and
and another odd scene
that
off guard. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a bunch of male nudity, actually.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
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 There's a full frontal male nudity. Mm-hmm. And even though it was in a kind of comedic sense, it was just like, what? You know?
Yeah.
Very, I mean, for us guys, obviously, it was just like, oh, well, that's not the worst thing ever. But
so anyhow, that one gets a big recommend for us. Would you give that an A?
I'm the letter grade remember? I mean, I'm the number grade.
Yeah.
Right. I would give this a 9. Okay. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I'd give it a solid A. Mm-hmm. I think it's good stuff. So from the little art house to the polar opposite, mm-hmm. and you have to understand, when we're talking about Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, we have not seen any of the other Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah. We have no context.
No context whatsoever. I've never had even the slightest attraction to mm-hmm. those movies. I don't care about cars.
Mm-hmm.
No idea why I would want to watch those movies.
Yeah.
But when we saw the trailer for this one and kind of heard that this is just big dumb fun, I thought, you know what? There's a place for this.
Yeah.
And it
was kind of like when we saw the Godzilla trailer, like, okay, there's a place for this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. And there's obviously there's a place for the Fast and Furious movies. They mm-hmm. do gangbusters, but they just never were something that appealed to me, but I can get the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't care about reality of any kind. Right?
Yeah.
Because on a literal level, kind of like with the other movie,
uh-huh.
like, are we supposed to take this literally?
Yeah.
Because there's a scene in the movie with the train of cars attached to the helicopter.
Yeah.
Where I think when the fourth car came in.
No, it's five, I think.
Is it? Okay.
I think it's four more in addition right. to... Well, here's the thing, is that I've got to describe this scene. So this scene reminded me of like cutscenes from a video game in a car racing game where, oh, you've gotten past this one guy and this other guy comes up to race you mm-hmm. and it zooms in on his face and gives you the view of his car and right. the new character.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened like three or four times with a new big Samoan guy and his car and different ways that they latched onto cars each time right. that required a unique type of ramming into one another.
Right.
And then that's not enough. They're going off the cliff because the helicopter's trying to pull them off, but they have to use this button to keep them on because right. it has this like turbocharge.
Yeah, nitrous.
And then the chain comes off of the final kind of tow truck thing. It like, it flies off, but the Rock catches it and kind of does like the Captain America helicopter thing from Winter Soldier,
yes.
holding on to the chain for a solid 10 seconds as he's pulling the helicopter in. And I was like, what? Yes. It was so absurd, yeah. but I loved it in yes. every way.
Yeah. Ethan actually leaned over and said, what is even happening?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's an example. And that is not the most ludicrous thing in the movie. That's the insane thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that then after that, they fall off a cliff, which should kill everyone.
And not just there. Kill.
Yeah.
They should be
mangled. Yeah.
Just complete shreds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you put them through a man-sized paper shredder, you'd see more people of them.
Yeah.
More parts of them.
Yeah. Oh, so anyhow, vital statistics on this one. It's directed by David Leitch. Starring Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson, obviously, as the Shaw and Hobbs. And then also Vanessa Kirby and Idris Elba. And for me, I thought they were the best part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Idris Elba and Vanessa Kirby, I thought were fantastic. Now, we knew Vanessa Kirby from Mission Impossible Fallout. She was the White Widow.
Right? Yeah.
Where I think she was like the daughter of Job from the first movie.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently there was a connection, which my mom found, which kind of offended me on my new movie knowledge. I was like, yeah. She noticed and I didn't.
Yeah, I think she is going to be putting in a lot of good work because she did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And Idris Elba is always fantastic, and he gets to speak with his normal accent, which is awesome.
Yeah. Here's the thing, is I will give this movie some credit, is some of the action at its lower levels with its hand-to-hand and stuff is actually not bad.
No.
Yeah. I'd say it's slightly above average when it comes to, you know, modern day film. I mean,
sure.
It's hard to say that because there's a lot of really good action and a lot of really good cinematographers out there right now, but it's not bad. It's bearable. You can mm-hmm. see what's happening, which I was a little worried going into. I was like, hey man, is this going to be like really crappy action with no story? It is good. Some solid action, but once again, the story, you're not getting much out of that.
Yeah. No, I swear for coming up with this movie, they had to have had just like 2 5-year-olds with a bunch of matchbox cars just going, oh, you know, it'd be awesome if this one did that and that one did that. And then that would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way some of it shakes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, some of the action with Idris Elba as Black Superman, you know,
where I'm Black Superman,
him with his awesome motorcycle that mm-hmm. like drives to find him and stuff.
Yeah.
There were some really cool shots with that.
Yeah. That motorcycle is still a little bit absurd because, yeah, you know, like the stuff that it did in a couple scenes, you're like, okay, so if it can do this, it's got to be able to do this.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I will admit, I did kind of go, ooh, a couple of times when he did some stuff. But
yeah. The whole movie is kind of like a boss fight, right? Only they encounter him more than one time. And and it just has to be where, since we'd seen the trailers for it, we're like, well, they haven't gotten to Samoa yet, so I guess they're going to beat him.
I mean, the movie, well, I think it's like, I saw people talking about it, like, I thought this was going to end about an hour and a half into it. And I will reiterate the exact same thing. I thought this was going to end. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to,
right,
but if I had not known the time that the movie had started, knowing the movie length, I would have been like, it's over. They're lifting us on a cliffhanger. This is setting up a sequel.
Right.
No, there's a whole nother 45 minutes of this.
Yes.
And right, yeah, that exists.
After Samoa, right?
Well, no, I mean like, but after the kind of Chernobyl looking place.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
No, there's a whole nother 45 minutes.
Sure.
Where they go to Samoa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I know this is going to happen. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, it felt like the climax was an hour long.
Yeah.
As opposed to a lot of movies when the climax is really 15 to 20 minutes at the most. And so, yeah.
Yes.
It's doing gangbusters at the box office.
It's doing quite well. Yeah. It's already hit 300 million worldwide.
Yeah.
And talking about the wide theater release versus what The Art of Self-Defense got, The Art of Self-Defense got 550 theaters. This is in 4,400 plus.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in that, just talking about the absurdity in that scene with the train of cars and the cables that they threw, like at the very beginning of that, The Rock throws a hook and hits the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 1 in 10,000 shot.
Yeah.
Right. It's the kind of thing where like, if you were trying to do this.
Also, can you, like, I know he's big, but getting it that high.
Right.
That's pretty crazy.
Sure. So, but then the next car comes in and, you know, they have to hook onto him with a 1 in 10,000 shot, which they hit. And then the next one comes and it's a 1 in 10,000 shot. So I'm just like, every one of these things, every one of these little stunts is the kind of thing that you would do over and over and over and over to try and get. But they all get it the first time because they're superheroes.
Yeah.
Super Samoan powers, I guess.
Yes. But if there is a place, like we mentioned, for this, if you want to basically go and just enjoy yourself with some other dudes. I mean, I'm not saying this is a male-only movie.
Right.
But specifically, like, if I saw this with my group of friends, we will be just screaming out the entire time, just having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go watch this. But if you're going to go in there and critique it, you're probably not going to have that good of a time. And, you know, as much as we are not film critics, we do like to do this whole thing where we critique film. There is a place for setting your critique brain aside and picking up your fanboy and brain and putting it back in.
Yeah, I was trying to think what this one said about masculinity, because the fact that it had the Vanessa Kirby character in there to moderate things a few times, where the guys were just starting to do the
testosterone,
testosterone thing. Yeah. And she came in and was like, okay, you guys can stop with the penis measuring now and let's go do something.
Yeah.
And even like the Hobbs's mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where all the guys were being typical guys, and she's like, "Everybody, shut up! You're going to do what I say."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, couple little touches of the feminine in there, which was fine.
Mm-hmm.
No, Jason Statham looks really good for 50. What was figure he was? 52 years old, something like that.
I don't know how old The Rock is, but he's massive.
Yeah,
he's big, and he's very likable. And I think that's probably why a lot of people enjoy these films, because he is likable. But then also just because...
Even when he's named Michael Oxmall.
Yeah. Mike Oxmall.
Yes.
And that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, you know, sorry if those pants were a bit loose in the balls.
Yeah.
So there's the biggest takeaway from this movie for me is... There's some comedy that's basically, it's the same thing kind of recycled. And so you don't get a ton of unique comedy. When there's something new that's funny, you can laugh at it. But when it's the same thing over and over again, it can get a little dry.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes for most of the movie. The action kind of dry after it does the same thing over and over again. But for the first couple times, it's relatively entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But I strictly do think that the runtime was a little bit too long. When it comes to art house films, I can understand being 260 minutes. I feel like the lengths of these two movies that we reviewed could get swapped, and I would have no problem.
Right.
Because I feel like even though The Art of Self-Defense was a little bit shorter, how long was it? Was it shorter? I feel like I could be totally wrong here. I feel like I remember it being shorter.
It's an hour 44.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that movie was pretty perfect for its runtime, but if that was a little bit longer, I'd be fine with it. If this one was a little shorter, I'd be fine with it.
I would totally be fine
with and
it.
And so...
Well, like you said, right? It's like they came up with, hey, we've got these action scenes, let's put them all in one movie. And then they had to figure out, well, how does that even work when you're talking about, you know, London and Russia and Samoa? How do we get into Samoa? Kevin Hart. That's how we get him there.
Oh boy.
That was unexpected. I didn't know about that. So that's the thing. Like
two cameos.
I felt like we saw too many trailers for this because the trailers that were too long that spoiled too much of the movie. On the other hand, a movie as long as this with as many action scenes as this, there still were some surprises, mm-hmm. but the surprises were usually the character moments like Kevin Hart and Ryan Reynolds and mm-hmm. And even like the whole Chernobyl or not Chernobyl but the Ukraine scene we didn't know that was going to exist and really there was not a ton in the trailers about the Vanessa Kirby character so that's,
yeah we
I
didn't
think
know
that's
that,
why I liked her as much
we didn't know that she was heavily involved with the plot she was we thought she was just kind of a punched him plot device so
right
that was good to see
it's not really a good movie.
No, it's honestly, it's a pretty terrible movie. If I were to give this a serious rating numerically, mm-hmm. it'd be like a 3 or 4. Mm. But entertainment value, 7, you know, maybe even an 8, pretty high. I mean, I wouldn't watch this again, but for the first time, mm-hmm. did I feel like I got my money's worth for sitting down and having some fun? Sure.
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 Yeah,
not I mean, yes, just sure.
Yeah, 66% on Rotten Tomatoes, I feel like. That's fair. But it's 89% for audiences. So audiences are enjoying it, despite the fact that critics, you know, didn't love it. But it's certified fresh. So, yeah. Two very different movies. If you have to see one of them, see The Art of Self-Defense, because it's, you know, you want to support films like that where this one people are going to go to anyway. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think? Think we're about done?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't give a letter grade to Hobbs and Shaw. I'd give it like a B-.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's a passing grade. It's entertaining if it's what you're in the mood for. If you're not, then it's just going to... Like, if I wasn't in the mood for this, there's sometimes where I'm in an action movie, I'm like, I'm just bored. I don't care. And if I saw this one again, so if somebody made me go to the theater again for this one, I'd just fall asleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think we're about done with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you can follow us on Twitter, @BriefNotSoBrief. Tweet at us. Let us know you're out there. And if you want to support my podcasting, you can do that at patreon.com/HugosPodcast. I would appreciate support there. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Ethan.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.